Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Sorry for the late start. Mama JF had brought back Mama JF had brought back some fine cuisine and I was like, okay, I need to eat this before the show. I don't want to let it go to waste. And so I took 10 minutes to eat some excellent poutine that she brought back. That was a very good poutine. It's rare where we are we are very far from civilization. It's rare to find an acceptable place for that kind of meal, but she found one and she brought it back. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? It seems that, Surya has said Twitter is busy censoring again tonight. Anything anti-left ain't loading. Too bad, too bad. But that's what they've been up to. That's what they've done with me. And so I'm not surprised. Are you guys receiving me on the regular chat? I think Odyssey might be lagging. But I think the chat seems to be lagging. In any case, the video seems to be playing. Odyssey growing pains continuing. Hopefully you guys are receiving me. Nicholas Petris says receiving on my PC. Well, excellent. Excellent. Yesterday I took a break from the internet. I did some plumbing and my God, is it fun. It's amazing. The possibilities that open up when you can do plumbing. Here I've decided to design a watering system for the raised bed, and so I took a line of PEX tubing from the house. I split it with Y plugs and valves, and I've dug a little tunnel to carry it to the raised bed. And I plugged it for now just to an outlet, but eventually I will plug it to a automated watering system, so that way I don't have to invest everyday effort in watering. Watering is one of the most time-consuming thing in farming. And, oh my God, I have... Odyssey refuses to be kept on pause. So my Odyssey video for the first time tonight is replaying and replaying and replaying again. I don't know if I'll be able to hold it at least at zero sound, so that doesn't bother me. But that is a problem because the creator must have access to the chat without having the noise coming back from the stream itself. In any case, so I've had water come out so I can plug a hose, and I'll also have a derivation going in, and I've ordered a motorized ball valve. So that's a that seems to be the option for someone who wants to electronically control a valve. If I want to water for 1 hour, the electronic ball valve, you power it, it goes in open position, and then when you depower it, it goes in closed position. I thought that the solution to this was solenoid valve, but solenoid valve apparently are things that are maintained open by magnetic force, and it costs energy. I didn't want anything that cost energy, because sometimes I may be watering for 8 hours in a row, so I don't want... And on top of it, the energy leads to consumption of electricity and production of heat. So I finally, doing some research, finally understood that what I need is not a solenoid valve, it's a motorized ball valve. So the motorized ball valve, when it's in open position, consumes zero power. When it's in closed position, consumes zero power also. All that it does when it's powered is it checks that it's opened and it makes sure that it's opened. And when you cut the power, it ensures that it closes as the last action before turning off the power. Also, I've installed on the raised bed a bottom of plastic so that my walls will be more durable, because I was thinking the soil will eventually humidify the boards And that would be uncomfortable for the bards. Across the years, the bards would eventually go bad. So I've decided to cover it all with my old greenhouse plastic, polyethylene, and with the hope that the soil humidity will not come to wet too much the boards and that I'll have a longer life on my raised bed. Craft9 says they make latching solenoid valves. Ah, I didn't know about this. It seems like this could be a solution, but at that point, why not a motorized ball valve? Because ball valve is the best, you know, it's the circular shape, it's durable, it doesn't sustain any mechanical damage from being opened, so I think that ball valve is the way to go. That's always what I've thought. I actually, before I understood that term, motorized ball valve, I was thinking of fabricating one myself with an Arduino and maybe a little motor, a little actuator that would just turn on a switch. But as it turns out, some people have already done this on Amazon. UK's largest supermarket begins rationing cooking oil amid supply disruption. If record high food prices weren't enough, the Russia-Ukraine conflict has choked off the world of sunflower oil supply, forcing the largest supermarket in the UK to begin rationing. The Guardian reports that Tesco, with more than 4,000 retail stores, placed buying limits of 3 cooking oil bottles per customer. It follows Waitrose and Morrisons, other supermarket chains that set limits of just 2 per customer. So that's what we'll have to face. There will be shortages and oil is starting. Of course, sunflower oil, I guess, was a major produce from Ukraine, and there will be none of it coming out of Ukraine. So the shortages are already starting in the UK. But there are alternatives. There are other types of oil. So Grapes Coda says seed oils suck anyway. There's a hate of seed oils. I don't know. I think that any fat will have some bad consequences for your health, but it's also needed to survive. So I don't know what to think about this. I'm certainly not a seed oil enemy or a seed oil denier. All right, if you would like to support the show, you can use the Odyssey platform. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. You just have to click the dollar button below the regular chat and send your hyper chats. Or as an alternative, you can also use Entropy, which the link for is in the description below for questions and super chats. Censorship of contrary data is part of the scientific method. Twitter says it will no longer allow advertisers on its site who deny the scientific consensus on climate change, echoing a policy already in place at Google. It seems that Twitter is not learning from the current assault on the control of their company that Elon Musk is leading. Twitter goes harsher than it already was, and they haven't understood that there will be a force in society that will come either to dominate you or replace you if you keep going like this. Climate change. So I can't be a non-profit that seeks another response to climate change than the one that is defended by the mainstream. I can't be an organization that promotes on Twitter and wants to promote a different scientific theory. This could potentially apply to authors who think differently. So basically, Twitter thinks that its business bottom, that its line of business is in speech control. And it's a bad line of business, and it's self-destructive, and it pushes away any creative mind from your platform. And you'll eventually become the the platform of boredom, of scientific boredom and creative absence. Macron, Emmanuel Macron, was reelected president of France. That sucks. 58.5% against 41.46% for Marine Le Pen. It's a much better performance than the last election, which was 66 to 33. So now we're at 58 to 41. But it's very disappointing. We have Emmanuel Macron, the representant of globalism in France, will continue to hold power. They always win, and the hopes are always disappointed, which is why I had no hope. Truth Social migrates to Rumble Cloud, Trump platform ready to onboard millions. Backlog of users waiting to get on Trump platform expected to be erased quickly thanks to partnership between two emerging free speech powerhouses. I don't know what to think about this. So Truth Social will basically be hosted on Rumble Cloud, which is basically just a term to mean the infrastructure that was developed for Rumble and now Locals will also extend to Truth Social. But we've seen from these platforms, Rumble and Locals, that they remain relatively small. They attract a crowd of very specific type of Americans, the MAGA crowds. And I don't know if people like me, if free thinkers, will have a place on these platforms. I will certainly open a Truth Social account when it's available, but I feel like it's going to get like Getter, like Parler, and like Rumble, where it's all about Trump, the Trump craze, and if you don't talk about the Republican Party, you won't attract the people on these platforms. So, and on top of it, I'm not sure I like the Rumble accumulation of power in this so-called free speech domain that they're dealing with. I don't know to which extent they're really willing to defend free speech. I don't think they are. I think they will have TOSs. How they will apply it once they have power, once they have enough ears on their platform, I don't know. But there's something to be worried about this concentration of power in the alternative tech. Twitter is reportedly reconsidering Elon Musk's $43 billion takeover offer, with the two sides set to meet Sunday. Twitter is taking another look at Elon Musk's $43 billion takeover offer, with the two sides set to meet Sunday. The social media giant had been expected to turn down Musk's offer made April 14. The next day, its board adopted a measure that would shield it from hostile acquisition bids, a move often referred to as swallowing a poison pill. So I don't know what's the news here. It's just that there was a meeting between Elon Musk and the board, and they seem a little more open to the idea of perhaps making a deal, but there's no commitment on their part. There's not even a public statement that would indicate an interest, but we'll know more this week. So the fate of this potential acquisition, we will know very much how it unfolds, whether it will be in a hostile form or it will be in a friendly form. We will know before Thursday. I can't wait. Satanic Temple files a lawsuit against Pennsylvania Elementary School for refusing to host After School Satan Club. The Satanic Temple has filed a lawsuit against a Pennsylvania Elementary School for refusing to host an After School Satan Club. The lawsuit accuses the Norton Elementary School in York, Pennsylvania, of violating the Constitution, Norton Elementary had apparently hinted to the Satanic Temple that they would have a better chance of the club being approved if they removed the word Satan from the name. Matthew Kezaya, who serves as the general counsel for the Satanic Temple, said the main issue to be litigated is whether the Northern York County School Board was discriminating against the Satanic Temple by allowing in some after-school clubs, but not the temple. This is the consequence of living in a society that claims to be as opened as it claims to be, but that isn't opened. I'm very glad that the Satanic Club is taking legal action, because I want liberals in this country to realize that they're not liberals, and that whenever you take the state as your tool to enact something, like the leftists want to do, eventually either you will have to compromise on your principles and show that you're not as open as you claimed, or you will have to let the tools of the state be used by people who think differently than you. I don't have a particular appreciation for Satan. I'm not a Satanist, but I think it's a perfect way to illustrate the cognitive dissonance at the heart of the modern left. It's like you want to make speeches about how you're open to minorities. How about you open yourself to the satanic minorities? After all, it's just another form of worship. There is no difference between someone who says they're satanic versus, oh, I believe in this god or that god. So go ahead, give them all of the rights or give them none, and then stop using the state to give yourself some rights. Justice Minister says no cap on Ukrainian refugees arriving despite accommodation challenge. Someone shared this on the Discord. She indicated the government will avoid, if possible, forcing people or businesses to give up property or open their homes to Ukrainian refugees. Well, thank you. She's going to do everything in her power to not steal your house, to give it to refugees. Let's just hope that she succeeds. I mean, how can we have attained this point where we have to hope that the people who lead our nations don't take our houses and our businesses to give it to migrants? Russia adds 25 more Americans to sanctions list, including journalists at CNN and ABC. This includes Mark Zuckerberg, and it includes CEOs of arms manufacturer like Northrop Grumman. That's amazing. Mark Zuckerberg is now sanctioned in Russia. I don't think it will have any effective meaning, but it may have meaning for potential travels of Facebook employees to Russia. Yeah, it seems that Mark Zuckerberg will not be able to enjoy walking freely on the soil of Russia. The eyes are turning toward the Azovstal plant. Ukraine military says Russian forces are trying to storm the Azovstal plant. Russian forces attempted to storm the plant in the besieged city of Mariupol on Sunday, despite Russian President Vladimir Putin's comments last week that the complex did not need to be taken. I don't know that we can trust this information. By the way, do you guys have a skip on the video? Because I'm getting a skip on my video, but I hope it's not getting to you. It's like the video just flashes. I don't know if it's like this for you guys. It seems that I'm getting this from the Odyssey screen, but perhaps it's just affecting me. Yes, you're all getting a a kind of wicking of the video. What could be causing this? I don't see anything causing this other than Odyssey. It's server lag, says fixed DSM. Firestarter says not too much, though. Well, hopefully Odyssey finds how to resolve this problem, because it's certainly not on my side. I'm streaming crystal clear video and everything is good. And in terms of audio, do you guys experience some problem, or is it just a video freeze that's occurring? Because I'm not monitoring the audio. Spindly says, seems okay for me tonight. So yeah, the Azovstal claim is coming from the Ukrainian side. Vladimir Putin has said that he would not send his forces to take Azovstal, that he would just block them from getting out, and he would just wait for them to beg for being basically humanely treated by the Russian forces. So that was the commitment of Vladimir Putin. Well, the commitment is statement publicly. And all we have is Ukraine claiming, well, they are bombarding with artillery and planes. Well, perhaps they are bombarding, but they are not. There has not been evidence of the Russian forces going in on the ground. So that would seem like activities that you can do from a distance. I haven't seen any convincing evidence that the Russian army is moving in to take over Azovstal, but up to now, we have the claim that they are somewhat bombarding from a distance, which is what the Russian army does, so not particularly surprising. On the ground, there was some progress in the sense that there was another area here that was claimed a little bit by the Ukrainian for a counter-offensive against the Russians. We had seen this about 2 or 3 days ago. And now it's totally controlled by Russians. So Mariupol is fully controlled, including the port section. The real last stand of the Ukrainian army is strictly now in Azovstal. So there's been it's bizarre, because this claim that the Russians are moving in for Azovstal by the Ukraine side comes on a day where there is massive effort in the media to bring public sympathy for the people in Azovstal. We have seen video emerging of women and children in shelters talking with the Ukrainian army and saying, what are they coming for? Why do they say they want to save us? What is there to save us from? And you have women explaining that the only thing that they've been saved off from is their work and their hospital and their grocery stores. Knowing that the Ukrainian side, every time they plan a media campaign, they seek to attract sympathy. I wouldn't be surprised that their report that the Russians are still bombarding Azovstal and that the situation is critical is just part of a campaign to get sympathy for these civilians. And if you want these children out of the shelters, why don't you send them through a humanitarian corridors, as they have been set for weeks now. Yesterday they were not available, but they have been available every week for now many weeks. Tillman says, Jeff, are you watching CNN? In general, you mean, or right now? Right now I'm not watching CNN. In general, I am rarely watching CNN. But I do have to watch CNN at times, and I do go to their website basically on an everyday basis, because I want to be aware of what they're covering and the sense that they're covering stuff with. So I do watch CNN, but not because I enjoy it, just as part of my job. Ruffman says, JF, I'm enjoying immensely the Johnny Depp / Amber Heard trial. I find the courtroom to be incredibly exhilarating. I don't know why. I've watched all witness testimony, about 40 hours of testimony in total, and I never got bored. Kind of like JFG Tonight, I never get bored of JFG Tonight. Well, thank you for the compliment. Now, on Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, I've watched some of the testimony of Johnny Depp, and that's all. So I'm I wasn't able to follow more than this. I'm not into it, but I would love to. If I had the time, I would love to dedicate a little more time to see what's happening in there. Although, you know, I really hate the fact that this is another trial of Me Too, cancel culture. Well, it's in reverse, in the sense that this is not a trial, I believe, of Johnny Depp. It's a trial of his ex and whether she has defamed him. But to me, it reawakens way too much the fact that men in this country are subjected to absolute torture, lies, delusions, absolute insanity on the part of their wives and their exes. And that's a big problem. It sucks that it's that way. And I don't find much hope in Johnny Depp changing this. I would like if one woman could be punished for her lies, but what about the other woman? What are we going to do about them? Because the problem stems there. The problem stems with the weaponization of false allegation, the escalation of victim culture, the use of victim culture with the with the goal of, I don't know, dragging public attention and sometimes destroying men. I don't think that anything that Johnny Depp can do and can win in this trial will change that situation. We need a change of culture, a change of culture that simply rejects any claim that is not proven by video or by demonstration without a doubt. We need basically a principle of criminal threshold for criminal claims. And we have to stop with all this. Oh, well, he abused me for years, and then what's the abuse? What were the... Well, he used psychological tactics to demean me. Okay, so what did he do, actually? That's what we need, and we're not very close to it. Nicholas Petris says it might be a start optimistically. I would love to share your optimism, but unfortunately, when you look at stuff like Andrew Cuomo, you realize that cancel culture is very, very much alive today and will be used by women with the goal of dominating the public space. Now, is this a divorce trial? No, it's not. It's a defamation case by Johnny Depp toward his ex. So for writing a Washington Post or something, an article in the mainstream about how Johnny Depp was abusive to her. Very interesting, though, that one can do this, but one has to note that most people in this country are not suable anyway. So they will drag you down their sewers. They will corrupt your life forever, and they will never get punished for it. Perhaps in her case, because she was the partner of Johnny Depp, she has some wealth to be drained away from her. But when you get canceled or attacked with false lies like this by people who have no wealth at all in their name, you can't sue them. It's gonna change nothing. Mariupol footage from Azovstal under Russian airstrike. So perhaps those are some of the strikes that Ukraine was referring to, but it's also possible that those are relatively old videos. I don't have a way to find the date of this event here. So we're seeing some smoke here. Some basically piles of soil getting bombarded randomly. That's already existing destruction. And we see some fresh smoke here. And we see some bombardment happening here. So that is the state of the Azovstal compound. Absolutely destroyed, almost in its entirety, but still the place where this is the video that emerged from a bunker in Azovstal. So it seems that it's a media operation, what we've seen today, and that's why they would say that they're getting bombarded and that the Russian president is lying. It's because they wanted to attract sympathy for the civilians who are still stuck in Mariupol. So the Ukrainian army will go on to speak with one of the women who will say, we've been deprived of our jobs. It sucks. Defenestrator says, audio went out of sync, had to refresh to resync. Well, it seems that Odyssey is having, they're playing with their backend tonight, so I'm sorry about that. If it's intolerable to you, you'll have to watch the show while it's not live anymore. But Odyssey has been improving, and I hope that the reason they are bugging tonight is that they're shooting for the stars. They're trying to improve greatly. Meanwhile, we learned that there is, you know, I remember one of you had told me there were NATO officials hiding in Azovstal. Well, we are learning more and more about the identity of those who are there. There are rumors that there are plenty of French soldiers who went like mercenary style, but with kind of the accent of their government to fight in Mariupol. And we learned that there's a Canadian quotes former commander of the army, Lieutenant General Trevor Cadier, is in Ukraine, and he has been absent since February. It is speculated that he may be surrounded in Azovstal. Well, that would be hilarious if the Azovstal siege ultimately was part of the strategy of Vladimir Putin to entrap people who are members of Western armies, because we've seen a lot of Western armies basically encouraging indirectly their soldier to say, well, you won't go there on our salary, but if you want to go there, we won't keep you from going there, and you'll be there as a mercenary. And there are rules that don't apply to mercenaries, like most of these rules that force you to respect the the other side's soldiers, they don't apply to mercenaries and treat them humanly. In principle, they wouldn't have to do it. Although I'm sure that if Russia puts their hand on people like this, people that have value for specific Western nations, I'm sure they will keep them alive and treat them humanly to eventually use them as leverage. But it would be interesting that ultimately the reason Vladimir Putin didn't send people in was that he doesn't want to confront them in fire to eventually kill them. He would like to keep them alive. So that might be the reason why Vladimir Putin is not interested in a quick takeover of the Azovstal plant. Perhaps he knows that if he controls the sea, they cannot escape. So if they can't escape, they eventually will end up in his hands. Foundations of the 21st Century says, Russian generals getting killed, high-ranking Western officers trapped. This is no third world war. Yeah, definitely, it's a very different war because it's a proxy war, but a proxy war between superpowers. And even the proxy wars that we've seen in the Middle East, there was always such an asymmetry that there was no question the side backed by the Americans would win. But this is a special one because it's a proxy war where the Americans are basically taking the weak side. And therefore, what will determine the outcome of this war is what are the limits at which the Americans are willing to go to provide support to Ukraine, because it's very much currently a war between basically the old outdated equipment and small equipment that the West can provide versus the full array of equipment that Russia can have. So it's a very more balanced situation where the outcomes are uncertain. We may very well have an incomplete outcome in the sense of some loss of territory for Ukraine, some gains for Russia, but not the whole of Ukraine. Because there's an inherent balance in the unwillingness of the West to be openly in that conflict. If they were openly in that conflict, there wouldn't be a chance for Russia, but they're not. And so they are limited in what they can bring in terms of resistance. Putin has lost interest in diplomacy. Vladimir Putin is no longer open to diplomacy to end the war in Ukraine, which suggests he's focusing on a land grab strategy instead, according to the Financial Times, citing three people briefed on conversations with the Russian president. Not particularly surprising, because we had heard Vladimir Putin say that he was exhausted about the changes of position that he was observing on the Ukraine side. And they've been all over the place, from saying basically that they wanted full territorial integrity to presenting a security deal that was basically equivalent to NATO membership. Those are demands that are unrealistic given the position of Ukraine and their incapacity to have defended their entire border from the very beginning of this war, and from even before the war. You know, they were still asking for Crimea in the negotiation. You lost Crimea 7 years ago, so it's a little late to be trying to leverage onto Crimea in a war that you're losing. Trashing the Constitution to seize Russian property. A very good article by Adam Dick from the Rand Paul Institute. Just the demonstration we've seen in this whole case that all of the tools that were supposedly developed to combat terrorism are basically going to be used by the American Empire in the most arbitrary way they can, against anyone that they don't like and any enemy that they can perceive. They will attack bank account, property, and no one is safe because, I mean, no one can guarantee that their country will not one day find themselves on the wrong side of the American Empire. What if Quebec starts a war? Would I lose my property in America? You know, it may be out there as a possibility, but it's not impossible. Imagine a situation where Quebec has so much water and America says, we're going to buy this water at a fixed price. And Quebec says, no, we want to sell you 10 times higher price. and now people are starting to dry, and they lack water, and water becomes this super precious resource, and eventually it could build into a war. Now, if such a war was to happen, would all Quebecois, would all people, one moment, would all people from that ethnicity be targeted the way Russians have been targeted? Because some of the Russian billionaires that have been targeted by this system of sanctions and deprivation of goods and yacht and whatever, they're all assumed to be on the side of their country. But this is claimed without proof and without proper judiciary review. So it's really a coup de force by the leading class deciding that they will deprive arbitrarily people from their property. Tillman sends a link. The awful truth is dawning. Putin may win in Ukraine. The result would be catastrophe. Well, I agree with the first part of the statement. I don't know that this will be a catastrophe. I think it's perfectly fine. A Russian victory would herald a new age of instability, economic fragmentation, hunger for millions, and social unrest. Well, you get what you fucking deserve. Because you've been benefiting from the extension of the American empire while denying the rights of any other nation to do the same as what the American army has done across the world. You've been trying to control other nations to limit their sovereignty, from South America to Iran to Vietnam. I mean, there's not a place on the earth that you've left alone. So you get what you deserve. Someone else had the idea of doing the same. Vladimir Putin. And he's probably going to win. And the weakness of your army has been demonstrated in, I'm talking to the US here, has been demonstrated in Afghanistan, and how you don't have things under control. And even when you dominate a nation militarily, you fail at fundamentally converting it. So basically, you make it appear like you're going to change this society. You pull out your LGBT flag on their embassy, and there's nothing they can do about it. But what they do, and what they did in Afghanistan, they found a way to survive despite your occupation. And sorry about the glitching vid. Unfortunately, it seems that it's happening tonight on Odyssey. Hopefully, it will not show once the full recording is released at the end of the show, but unfortunately, Odyssey is having some hiccup for the live crowd. So yes, America has been trying to do that, and we're not even letting Russia do it in its own backyard. It's not like Russia is going on the other side of the world trying to bus an American nation close to the US. They're just trying to stop a nation that's at their border from joining the American empire in full swing. That's all they're trying to do. Mama JF says, wow, this is really psychedelic. Maybe there's a way I can use the Odyssey hiccups to create some visual effect. Maybe I could dance, or and maybe it would have some strobing-like effect on me. But I'll try not to wreck Mama JF's brain. A magnet for conspiracy theories. Wikipedia kills entry for Hunter Biden's investment company. Wikipedia editors are under fire this week for removing the entry for Rosemont Seneca Partners, the investment company connected to Hunter Biden and his alleged multi-million-dollar influence peddling scheme. Wikipedia has a serious problem that's even worse than Twitter. And once we have resolved Twitter, I think I will unleash Elon Musk onto Wikipedia. I'll go see my homeboy Elon Musk And I'll say, you've accomplished it for Twitter. Good job. Now go, unleash yourself on Wikipedia. Buy them. I think this is what we should do, because there's no fixing of Wikipedia as long as we don't fix the heart of it, which is, well, Grapes Coda says crush Wikipedia. That would be one thing. We could replace Wikipedia. I mean, it's kind of getting old. It has failed at following the world as the world was changing. It's kind of good to have an old view of science, like, it's kind of an old style encyclopedia where if you talk about some controversy that has happened 100 years ago, you might get a good overview of it. But for current controversies, for evaluating people who say valuable things but who aren't covered in media and who the media of the left is not siding with, forget it. They're absolutely unable to do this. They have a extreme bias in their notability criteria, where basically, if you want to exist on Wikipedia, you have to be mentioned positively by a left-wing journalist. That's basically what the notability criteria is. So hopefully what we could do is Elon Musk buys Wikipedia, fires them all, and we create a just and fair encyclopedia with a mechanism for okay, how do we report about something that not everybody agrees with? Because it's very easy to do the Wikipedia part where everyone agrees. It's very hard to decide. First, we need to abolish the notability criteria, or the notability criteria must be so expanded that basically, yes, when an independent journalist like Tim Pool or whoever, like Mark Dice, talks about something, then it's media coverage and it counts. Because the thing is, these guys have become bigger than CNN. So by what standard do you decide that CNN still has a special access to the truth today, when these guys have won the free market game of truth? Mark D sends $20. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, salut JF, thanks for the show, my contribution for your Pepsi and Putin fund, and oh my god, as you send me $20, I've just received a delivery of Diet Pepsi. Ah, finally I can afford to take a little bit of Diet Pepsi. Thank you so much. Midnight Sun says, Odyssey is getting better and better every day, although many people are still not aware of it. How can we get your 40,000 subscribers from the public space onto JFG tonight? This will be a long mechanism, but I'm confident that something like this can happen, but not this year. I see Odyssey attaining its peak maybe in 5 or 6 years. So don't worry about it. Don't be like actively spend your life on an everyday basis to try to get Papa JF to be an e-celeb of broad reach. It's not worth it. Just spread the word of the revolutionary phenotype. It's still a true theory. It still hasn't been debunked. It's still the most advanced theory of biology as a whole ever provided, that explains not only regular evolution, but the special cases of phenotypic revolution. And I'm confident that if we hold this pillar and we drive it forward across the events and across the news cycle, things will realign on the internet. It's going to be a long process. We need Elon Musk to fix Twitter or destroy it, or we need Twitter to destroy itself. We need eventually to get to the destruction of YouTube, and eventually for a free market of ideas to be born again on the internet. I don't see this happening on a scale of weeks or months. I see it happening on a scale of years. Because these big companies, eventually, they shoot themselves in the foot. And Odyssey will be there to collect the benefits from it. Lagarde demands ECB dissenters keep quiet as central bank prepares for liftoff. So apparently there will be big announcements for the the central banks and the monetary policy going forward. How tight will it become? Will they be combating inflation aggressively or softly? And Christine Lagarde, who is a she's a French, I guess we could call her a French globalist oligarch, part of the International Monetary Fund and all this crap. She's demanding that people keep quiet and that there be no leaks. But then her fellow board members went to the press anyway and said, is that how you want leaks? Because that's how you get leaks. Basically, if you keep people from expressing their opinions on the board who may disagree with the monetary policy that you're pushing, then they can't talk to the press, but then they will still talk to the press, but they will go anonymously. We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. In Nigeria, 73 million citizens have had their mobile phones blocked by the government as punishment for failing to register on the National Digital Identity Database. That's almost one third of the country. So they're like, okay, we're going to do a little database. We just want you to register. And of course, once you've registered, who knows what kind of control they gain. I mean, they end up knowing basically your ID, and therefore they can, if they have control of internet companies, they can eventually trace everything you do and they can associate it with your identity. And so they started this register. It's simple. Your phone will be illegal if you don't register. So blanket ban on non-registered phones. It's something that's done indirectly in our societies. In our societies, they probably couldn't do it so obviously, but they do it on the side with the NSA secret stuff, and then they let the private companies like Google, Facebook, Twitter gather amounts of information on you that are just as good for them in terms of identifying you as if you had registered in person. So it's not so different, this country, from ours, but it's a little less hypocritical. And now you're going to have people will lose access to their phone. I don't know what will happen with them. I had heard that there was a massive movement toward Bitcoin in Nigeria because it's the only thing trustable. Now, will this 73 million people, many of them must have had Bitcoins. What will happen with their ability to control their Bitcoins? Hopefully there will not be too many losses given this attack on communications rights and privacy rights. So that is it for tonight, boys. Grapes Coda says, are Nigerians based or just lazy? Possibly based, then, in response to the fact that they have Bitcoin. Well, you know, Nigeria, I don't know much about this country. From my understanding, it's an African country with African citizens. And so it's not a country that I expect will get out of authoritarianism anytime soon, nor that they will have rights emerging and being well defended anytime soon. So it's, but in a way, you know, you can respect these countries with respect to ours because they have some honesty about their authoritarianism that we lack. That is it for tonight, boys. I will see you all tomorrow. There's two things tomorrow. We'll have our regular show at 7 p.m. Eastern time. But earlier in the afternoon, there will be an appearance on the Decameron Film Festival. So follow my social media, Gab, Discord, Telegram, and I will post the link. I don't know if it will be streamed on platforms like Odyssey or YouTube, or if it will be a Telegram exclusive. I don't know how they operate. We'll see, but I'll be talking about Terminator 2 tomorrow and the perspective of the father to son relationship in Terminator 2. I had already done a stream about it, but I've never been to the Decameron Festival to talk about it, so I will. By the way, I watched a movie called Paradox. And let me pull the link to it because I had a hard time finding it. But it turned out it's fully available on YouTube. Paradox by Steve-O Chang, I believe. It's Paradox. Okay, there it is. So, since I'm putting it on my screen, you'll have it in the list of links that I give after the show. You can go in the description after the show and you'll have a link, an HTML link, and you'll see this link in the list of links used tonight. It's called Paradox and it's fully available on YouTube. Sci-fi parallel universes film, 1080p. I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. I was trying to get a link to it and eventually found that someone had uploaded it on YouTube, and it has 1.5 million views. It's a 2016 movie about quantum physics, time travel, and multiple world hypothesis. And it's the most accurate embodiment of multiple world theory that I've seen. Of course, there are some things that are bizarre as a consequence, because when you try to do a movie about multiple world branching out, it becomes complicated. But it's funny and it's interesting how they kept the whole thing consistent. So it's about a guy who loses his wife, and he's a quantum physicist, and he wants to see his wife again. So he decides to go on a special experiment that is called the quantum suicide machine. So it's a version of the Schrödinger's cat, but you're the Schrödinger's cat. And you end up killing yourself if the detector detects a particle, and not killing yourself if the detector doesn't detect a particle. The point being, the theory of multiple worlds. If it is true that quantum uncertainty always results in basically two different universes, one in which the event happened and one in which the event didn't happen, then we would be constantly branching in different worlds. And the idea is, therefore, if you were a Schrödinger cat, if you tied a detector of a particle, which has 50% chance of showing up with a given spin or 50% chance of showing up with a different spin, and you tied this detector to a gun that shoots you, you would die in one universe when the detection happens, but there would be another universe in which you don't die. And so the point is, if you do that experiment 20 times and you survive 20 times, you can conclude that not only is the multiple world theory true, but also that you've been, that you are in that universe where the laws of physics have been such that they never killed you out of 20 shots that they could have. It's not a super interesting experiment, because you can equally do it without suicide. So it's not, from a theoretical physics perspective, it's not a very interesting experiment. Because you could do it to a cat, and there would be one universe out there in which the cat has survived 20 times, and you'd be in that universe to witness and to testify that the multiple world theory is indeed true. But still, the film tries to play on this, and eventually the the guy achieves quantum immortality, as he calls it, which is that basically the laws of the universe will bend to protect him from dying. So whatever he does, he doesn't die. And it creates a lot of copy of himself, and the universe becomes weirder and weirder because it needs to accommodate the fact that he's constantly violating and creating paradox. But he ends up running after himself and having to kill himself multiple times because finding himself in the universe where his wife is, he realizes, well, there's another copy of him. So he has to kill that copy to occupy his place. And then in the process of killing that copy, there's other copies of him that are also running after him. It ends up in a very weird... I've never seen a movie like this where a guy has like maybe 20 copies of himself running around. And we see perspectives of each of the copies. It's really well done in terms of putting into images multiple world theory. And it's simple and it's understandable, but it becomes extremely confusing. There's no way I can analyze this in any depth because the loops in there are multiple and confusing. It's incredible. But it's interesting and it's well tied up at the end. It's all, the loop is closed properly. Although, you know, there's a little part of the ending that I would totally erase because he's like, I'm sure there's a world out there where I'm with her. And it's like, oh, always this, always this. I prefer black-pilled movies that close the loop properly and that kill everyone. It's not happening in this movie. You know, personally, my desire for the end of the movie would have been that he kills himself because he realizes, wow, my desire to be with her is constantly creating copies of myself and multiple worlds. And the only way this can stop is if I kill myself. And then I'll know that some other copy of myself will be with my wife, but not me, not this one copy. So the only way to stop the escalation of this movie would have been suicide. But it's not that way that it ends. Mama JF says, it's just like the Triangle movie. Well, Mama JF keeps saying this when we watch this movie, but I don't exactly remember the Triangle movie. The Triangle movie. Mama JF has reawakened me to some of the details of this movie. The Triangle... Four filmmakers take their camera... Oh, no, that's a different one. By the way, what's with all these movies that share the exact same name? It's getting confusing. Triangle 2009. Yacht passengers encounter mysterious weather conditions that force them to jump onto another ship, only to have the odd havoc increase. Is it this one? Not sure. In any case... So I highly recommend this movie. I will leave Ancient it Greeks up. Tell the story. Oops. I will leave it up for you guys if you want to watch it. I've also watched other movies. It turns out there's another movie called Paradox. I think it's Paradox 2006. It's not 2006. Paradox movie. Paradox 2017. Let's check if it's this one. No, it's not this one. Paradox 2018. I mean, I swear, there's like five movies called Paradox. It's totally confusing. No, it's not the 2018. Okay, it's this one. Paradox 2016. Another movie involving time loops. I've watched it. Also a short movie This is a 15 minutes movie called Exit Strategy. I can't believe there were three movies about time travel that I hadn't watched, and I watched them all within the last 2 days. So Paradox 2016, Paradox by Steve-O Chan 2016 also, and then Exit Strategy, which is a short available on Vimeo for free. Be careful, there's also another movie called Exit Strategy from 2012, but what I'm talking about is the short from 2019, a movie about a time loop in which a brother tries to convince his brother of not dying, because it's his instinct of his brother to die, because he's a fireman. He wants to fight fire, but the universe keeps killing him in all the loops. And the brother eventually, well, you'll see. You can watch it if you want to know the end. Firestarter says, lol, 2009 Triangle have Sarah Connor's actress. Yes, I remember. There was the Sarah Connor. Sarah Connor was in a movie with a boat, but you're saying now that it's Bermuda Tentacles. Okay. I don't know, but I do remember seeing her in some boat and sea-related movie. All right, that is it for tonight, boys. Much love. See you all tomorrow. And sleep well. Thank you.